Good morning, Arizona. Why don't you come on around back with us as we get started in our outdoor living hour, 8 o'clock sharp every Saturday morning. It is the second Saturday of the month, so we're joined by certified arborist Mr. John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. He's brought a wonderful tree of the month, and along with got my notes here, and I got my pen in hand, and we're going to be talking pruning.
Lots of stuff. Yeah, you'd think in January things would be slowing down, and they are, but there's still a lot to talk about today.
And we have callers already lined up at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Eric and Whitman will start off first with lots of trees to prune. You can text questions to 411-923. Or if you'd like to send a picture, maybe a little plant or insect identification of something that's crawling around on your trees, you can snap a photo and email that to info@rosieonthehouse.com. But let's start off with the tree of the month. This is one of my personal favorites.
Our tree of the month is the live oak tree, the Quercus virginiana. It's a really amazing tree. It's widely distributed across the southern United States, but there's a couple of varieties that do really well here. And the live oak tree is an evergreen tree, so it keeps its leaves all year. So if you're not wanting to be looking at branches only during the winter, this is a good choice. It grows to about 35, 40 feet tall here. It can grow much taller in other parts of the country, but that's a pretty good standard maximum height for it here. There's a couple different varieties. You can get one called the Cathedral Live Oak, which is more upright in appearance, grows a little taller than it does wide. Then the Heritage Live Oak, which is a little broader, about as wide as it is tall, so it's more of a rounded tree form. But it's got a nice, glossy, dark green leaf, a dark brown bark, and it's a really pretty striking, dominant tree in the landscape. What we love about them is they're very low maintenance, and they just don't require much pruning. We just don't recommend, thinning them out real heavily. You don't really need to do that. They grow, it's kind of a moderately fast-growing tree. As I've said in the past, if the tree grows more slowly, it tends to have less litter. The faster-growing trees are putting on wood more quickly, and they're dumping leaves all the time. They're photosynthesizing, and their metabolism is more vigorous. So they're going to be dropping leaves and litter as a result of that. So live oaks are probably on the moderate side of that spectrum. And they're a strong tree, really, really durable. We don't see many branches breaking on these trees. They have a kind of an upright growth habit with a central leader and smaller side branches, but usually a strong central trunk in the middle, and which makes them really desirable in certain applications.
On the tire swing or love seat swing tree variety, this one scores about a 10.
It's nice on the Heritage. Yes, it'll have some branches that are high enough that you can usually put something in. Probably not your best one for that. For if you're looking for a swing tree, there might be a couple others I would recommend. But yeah, it's a really awesome tree for providing shade. We like them too because the litter issue is they do have a few. Acorns that will drop seasonally in the fall. But other than that, it's considered a clean tree, and a lot of people are really looking for that. They don't want a tree that's going to be a dumping stuff in the pool or all over the patio or going to be a constant headache with raking leaves. And even when the leaves do drop on oaks, they're a thick, waxy leaf, so they tend to be pretty heavy and they stay where they drop. A lot of trees have very light leaves, like the bottle tree, oh my goodness. And they're like crepe paper, so when they drop, then they just scatter with the slightest wind, and they're all over the yard.
And the oaks are flat and small, so like you said, it's hard for the wind to pick it up, where like a mulberry tree, yeah. It's multi-shaped and it's big.
It's the
perfect leaf to catch the wind breeze and blow everywhere.
I know, when we have a lot of leaf litter on the ground, we either hope for no wind at all, or a whole bunch of wind that will carry the leaves to your neighbor's yard. Yeah, the oaks are good for that cause.
And you've got a note here about the insect population in the spring.
Yeah, we have we want to talk a little bit about the warm winter we have. One of the downsides of having a warm...
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not tied to the tree of the month. That's number four.
You're jumping ahead of us. We do want to talk a little bit about the warm winter and some of the concerns that we have as a result of that.
And before we get to that, just on our live oak, what kind of water requirements is this type of tree does this type of tree require?
It's not extremely thirsty. It does need a deep regular watering like normal trees. Nothing in particular. Occasionally, a little bit of nitrogen fertilization would be appropriate for all the trees. You rake up the leaf litter. We're breaking up that normal nitrogen cycling that occurs when a leaf litter decomposes over time. So if you're raking up your leaf litter in your yard, it might be a good idea maybe annually to consider a nitrogen fertilization for all your trees, and oaks would be included in that for sure.
Now, what's the best practices for parking under a tree? And, you know, a lot of people, and you see them in parking lots a lot, you know, trees, and you can always tell if somebody is new to Arizona or this is their first time to Arizona in the summer, because a new person would be parked right up front. Somebody that's been here for summer, they're all scattered under every little piece of shade you can find. It might even be just one little tiny branch, but they're fighting over that parking spot for shade. But, I mean, you really don't want to be putting your vehicle on the top of the root structure of trees.
Yeah, of course, if it's in a parking lot, a paved lot, you know, that's designed for that, that's one thing. But, yeah, you don't want to be driving over the root zone of any of your trees. Unfortunately, people do that in Arizona because shade's at such a premium. People want to park under there, or they want to store materials underneath the trees. We've seen construction sites where they'll dump sand and materials and stack pallets of materials underneath trees, and they think, well, as soon as when we're done with the construction project, we'll move everything out from under the tree, and then we'll be good. But they fail to realize that all that heavy material over the root zone has compressed the oxygen out of the soil, and that soil compaction can have a long-lasting impact on the roots of the tree. So try to stay off the root systems of your trees. You know, minimal traffic, whether it's pedestrian or vehicular traffic, is recommended for the root zone of the tree, at least out to the drip line and beyond it if possible. So, you know, wherever the leaves of the tree end, if you draw a vertical line down to the ground, that's called the drip line. That little area inside that drip line, we just consider it sacrosanct. You know, you don't want to be going in there and doing a lot of compaction and trafficking, especially not driving a car. And we'll see that a lot. Trucks on construction sites, look for the nearest trucks to slide their truck under, and not so good for the trees. Especially if you got a construction project that you're building around that tree. It's a shame when a lot has gone into landscape design and to build a landscape around some feature trees. And then it ends up that the construction impacts were so heavy that within 2 or 3 years, those feature trees decline and die. And so it's really important to take into consideration all those negative impacts on the root zone of those trees that you're working around. Keep those protected. In fact, we suggest sometimes building a protective barrier around the tree, either setting up a chain link fence or some sort of snow fencing and marking it as a tree protection zone so that the construction vendors and contractors realize that, hey, this area, we can't work inside this. And you'll be really happy at the end of the construction project that your trees survive.
And you mentioned there's not a lot of pruning or maintenance that this tree requires.
Nope.
What about summertime? I mean, it's not quite native to the desert, but it is.
It's really drought tolerant. Yeah, that's why the couple of varieties that I mentioned and the ones that are sold here locally are really well adapted to. I mean, they're not great. They don't, just like all the trees, even some of our desert trees struggle through a really, really wicked hot summer. But for the most part, it's a really drought-tolerant tree, handles a lot of wind. People don't realize that it's not just the high temperatures, it's the wind, which desiccates leaves and dries them out, that causes a lot of the sun problems that we have. So this is pretty wind and drought-tolerant.
If you were planting a live oak, and you had bare ground, dig in your water lines. You've got the design. What type of watering system are you using to support this? A 30-foot tree is pretty big.
Well, water is water. So any delivery system you choose is going to be good if you give them adequate depth of saturation. So you want probably an 18-inch to 24-inch depth of saturation on all your mature trees. So whether you're doing it with a drip irrigation system or a bubbler system, some sort of a flood irrigation system, it doesn't really matter, just so you get that same depth of saturation. So if you're using a drip irrigation system, you just have to select an adequate number of emitters with a dispense rate, a gallons per hour dispense rate that's sufficient to deliver enough water to get you that depth of saturation.
If you're doing a drip line, you had mentioned 30 feet tall, so that's about 30 feet from side to side is what you want. So you want about a 15-foot radius around the tree that you run your line around. So you've got plenty of opportunity to add and grow. What it needs when you plant it from a 5-gallon is going to change pretty quick once
you need to be moving those emitters out. And during your design process, sometimes you can just, create the system that has the larger radius so you don't have to be constantly moving it out every 3 or 4 years as the tree matures. But yeah, you can just extend those systems and just make sure you're adding more emitters to the system. What we like to say, if you have an 18-inch saturation spread on an emitter when it's gone through its cycle, you want to have those saturation patterns overlapping so that you cover the entire root zone of the tree. So make sure you have them close enough to one another so that their saturation patterns touch.
When we come back, we'll also be talking about other items on January's tree care calendar, including pruning deciduous trees, lightly pruning evergreens, frost protection, time for olive sprays. We've got a couple of the notes here. You'd mentioned the warm winter and what will that lead to in the summer. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348.